Diabetes Insights, Breakthroughs and Innovators. The EASD TV podcast from the annual meeting of the European Association for the Study of Diabetes.
Hello again. Now, I'm probably not allowed to say it, but I think in my present company, I can get away with it. It has been type 1's year this year at EASD. Some really, really exciting trials announced. And to talk to me about two of those trials, MELD and VERA, I have with me Chantal Mathieu, type 1 queen, if I can say, and Francesca Dotta. Thank you so much for coming in. Now, there are two trials, MELD and VERA. Just explain to me what those trials involve. Chantal, do you want to start on MELD?
It's with great pride that this morning we presented the two trials, who both were run by a consortium called Inodia in Europe. So it was a project.
Sorry, explain what Inodia is.
Exactly. It was a project that was run by us, Francesco, and many academics throughout Europe, working together with industry and also with foundations. We had the Breakthrough T1D and the Helmsley Trust working together on finding new biomarkers in type 1 diabetes and also having novel trial designs for testing disease-modifying therapies in people with type 1 diabetes. Inodia was supported by the Innovative Medicines Initiative of the European Commission. That has now become IHI. But for 7-8 years, we worked together. And these two trials were two of the four trials we ran. And we were very proud to present them at this year's ESD.
And what were the results? Let's start with MELD, and perhaps we can talk to you, Francesca, about VERA.
So our two trials were quite different. If we start in reverse order with the VERA T1D study, that was actually more of a standard study where we compared one agent in one dose up to 360 milligram of verapamil, an old antiarrhythmic drug, shown in other smaller studies that it targets the beta cell, so the insulin-producing cell. And so we tested one dose of verapamil versus placebo in individuals with newly diagnosed stage 3 T1D. And all these people were adults between 18 and 45 years of age. The MELD-ATG trial was a very different trial because that was a dose-finding study where we tested four different doses of anti-thymocyte globulin, so an old polyclonal antibody targeting T lymphocytes made in rabbits. So it's a xenogeneic polyclonal antibody. And again, testing four doses against placebo, but we used an adaptive trial design, allowing us to drop doses as the trial evolved, coming up with three doses in the end. Two doses, one placebo arm, a higher dose of ATG, which is still very low, 2.5 milligram per kilogram, and a middle dose that turned out to be 0.5 milligram per kilo. The difference also with VERA T1D is that the MELD-ATG study included much younger individuals, children as young as 5 years of age, up to young people of 25 years of age. So quite different studies, but all ran on the backbone of the master protocol of Inodia, allowing us also to compare studies. We had our endpoint at 12 months with the same endpoint, namely area under the curve of a mixed meal tolerance test, a two-hour mixed meal tolerance test. And also we had intermediate measurements at 3 months and at 6 months that were obligated to happen in both studies. So it will be interesting eventually to also compare what is happening at these time points.
So Francesca, you were the commentator also. I think you were involved in the Verus trial yourself. You presented some of the results today. Can you take us through them?
Basically, the VERA trial did not meet the primary outcome with a statistically significant 0.06. And so the question is why this happened. And looking at the actual numbers, it was a clear trend of a beneficial effect of verapamil. The reason why probably the statistical significance was not reached is that not on the effect of verapamil on the C-peptide levels, which was that one that we expected, is that the placebo group showed a decline of beta cell function that was much lower than all the clinical trials so far conducted, both in the natural history as well as the other clinical trial. So in the end, the reason why the primary outcome probably was not met was the fact that the number of patients recruited was too low. In other words, the study was likely underpowered to detect such a small difference. So either more patients or a longer duration of the trial, which was 12 months, probably in a 2 or 3 years' time, that wouldn't be a more...
So I was going to ask you, what are the next steps?
Yes, the next step would be, first of all, what was shown today, and Thomas Pivet showed that Vera is a safe drug. And this is very important, considering that one of the avenues that we may take is to combine Vera with other immune modulatory agents to reach a better outcome. The other thing that I would like to stress, as I mentioned in my presentation, that we very well know now that type 1 diabetes is indeed very heterogeneous. And it is heterogeneous not only on a age basis, but also on other characteristics. And so, as a matter of fact, the NODIA natural history population already, as a background, show heterogeneity in terms of decline of beta cell function after onset. So this means that we also need the identification of precise biomarkers that are able to help us in assign the appropriate drug to the appropriate patient, and as in terms of considering a sort of precision medicine approach that I think is needed for this type of disease.
So that illustrates, I mean, in some ways disappointing, but actually it's given you an awful lot of information and different avenues to pursue.
Yeah. And it's partially disappointing, I would say, only partially.
Only partially.
The effect of Vera, I think, was somehow that one that we expected, because the C-peptide levels remain the same after 1 year. The fact is that the decline of beta cell function in the adult populations that was recruited was less severe as all the other previous clinical trials.
And it actually illustrates something that's been really prevalent in this year's ESD about the different endotypes and the different phenotypes of type 1 diabetes. Now, tell me about the MELD trial.
Can I first continue on Vera, because I was also an investigator and as coordinator of INODIA was very involved. It does show us that trial design is important, but also it does show you that we must do trials to confirm ideas that are out there. A lot of people want to use verapamil off-label, and we mustn't forget there are side effects. And we did see 20% of people having an AV block. And, I don't want to give it to 16-year-olds that you may expose to arrhythmias on the football field. So we need more information. And there is major hope, namely Dr. Annette Chalev, who has pioneered the concept of verapamil targeting TIC-SNP in the beta cell, has now specific TIC-SNP targeting molecules. So we may be able to harness this effect of verapamil to the next level. But we need to test that. And I would argue, test it in adults and in younger people. And as Francesco was saying, test it in combination with immune modulatory agents. Because we just published in Diabetologia a paper showing, for instance, verapamil together with ATG. And it works very nice in mice. There are biomarkers showing what is happening. So I'm a big believer that the Verapamil story is not dead. There's a lot of potential there, especially with more specific tick SNP targeting in the beta cell and combination therapy. But again, don't try it at home, because, you know, you need to acknowledge also safety.
That's something we see it more generally, particularly online, where you see a lot of recommendations for treatments that really haven't got the evidence. So doing a trial that has a negative outcome is actually extremely important, because it gives you the evidence to say, don't take this.
Yeah, and again, I don't know if VERA-T1D is really negative. It had, for the primary outcome, a P of 0.06. But if you do the per protocol analysis, so analyzing those people who are actually taking this drug, because that's also something that needs to be said. It's a pill you need to take daily. And these people needed to take it for a year. But if you analyze the people who actually took the drug versus placebo, then you do have a P of 0.034. So I wouldn't call it a negative trial. It is a trial where we will learn a lot, but it's not the spectacular effect that some people were expecting. Mm.
Okay, let's move on to MELD. What were the outcomes of the MELD trial?
Yeah, so what we showed is that, first of all, we confirmed that the dose of ATG of 2.5 milligram per kilogram body weight given in an infusion of 2 days, just at the diagnosis of clinical stage 3 T1D, was indeed able to delay the beta cell destruction by 12 months. So there was a statistically significant difference in area under the curve of C-peptide. And by finding this superiority of ATG at 2.5 milligram, our statistical model allowed us to go and test what was the lower dose of ATG that was chosen by the dose determining committee. We as investigators were completely blinded, but so they ended up with allowing the 0.5 milligram per kilo to go on. And so this 0.5 milligram of ATG per kilogram body weight showed a statistically significant difference of area under the curve at mixed meal tolerance test versus placebo. And what was interesting is that if looking at all of the metabolic parameters, this study was powered for the C-peptide, but looking at the metabolic parameters, we can see trends. There was always the same trend, namely the 0.5 and the 2.5 were equally effective in lowering hemoglobin A1c, a somewhat lower insulin dose, somewhat better CGM parameters. But what was interesting, hemoglobin A1c was actually statistically significantly lower in the 0.5 milligram per kilogram arm compared to placebo, despite everybody,
which is very counterintuitive.
Yeah, despite everybody in a blinded way being treated equally with intensive insulin treatment. So on the efficacy side, we really found a minimum effective low dose of ATG at 0.5 milligram per kilo.
And without the INODIA protocol, you wouldn't have got to that.
Exactly. And what is important is that 0.5 milligram per kilogram is only one infusion on one day. Because also in the 2.5, you got on the first day the 0.5, and then the second day you got the 2. So adding up to 2.5 milligram per kilo. But the people in the 0.5 got only the 0.5 on day one and placebo on day two. So this is important, because imagine this is now a treatment of just one infusion, 12 hours long in one day, giving you 12 months later a better C-peptide reserve. So efficacy-wise, we had this intriguing observation that 0.5 was as good as 2.5. And looking at safety, it was clear that cytokine release syndrome, the fever, the myalgia, arthralgia that you can have when you get an infusion with an antibody targeting lymphocytes was actually a little bit less in the 0.5 milligram compared to the 2.5. But especially the serum sickness, a reaction that happens 2 to 3 weeks after your infusion, it's a reaction of the body recognizing the rabbit polyclonal antibody and making antibodies against rabbit. And that gives you a syndrome, we've seen it, that is very typical. It's stiffness, it's arthralgia, myalgia, 2 to 3 weeks after the infusion. And that was 80%, around 80% in the 2.5, but much lower, around 30% in the 0.5. So it's as efficacious, and it was with less side effects. So that's
so really important information that's come
absolutely
out of it. I did say at the beginning that this has been type 1's year. I mean, am I allowed to say it has been type 1's year?
Absolutely. And I also made the shout out in our symposium that we need to thank the program committee and Professor Tina Wittelsberl in particular for allowing us to really showcase what is happening in type 1 diabetes. Because endocrinologists, the diabetes community, and people living with diabetes are so excited about what's happening in type 1 diabetes. We're excited about obesity and type 2 diabetes and all the disease modification we see there and organ protection and what have you. But in type 1, we're now coming to
the type 1 buzz here.
Screening, exactly.
Been absolutely astonishing.
We're coming to screening for early stage T1D. We had the consensus on general population screening. We had the consensus ADA, ESD on how to treat people with type 1 diabetes. It was all over the place. And we had these two breaking clinical trials.
Fantastic. It's been very good news for everybody, and I'm delighted that you've come into the studio to talk about this. And if you want to see those presentations in full, they are, of course, available through the EASD website.
Thank you for joining us on the podcast of the European Association for the Study of Diabetes. We hope you enjoyed today's insights. If you did, go ahead and hit subscribe, and you'll always stay up to date with the latest in diabetes research and discoveries. And if you'd like to dive deeper, you can find plenty more information at EASD.org.